Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Steve Martin. Steve is the Chief Operating Officer and Vice President of The Positive Way. He's a seasoned professional manager, author, consultant, patented inventor, and problem-solving expert. Fortune 500 companies as well as family businesses have used his proven turnaround and problem-solving skills, and as I said, he is absolutely a tremendous resource for small business, and he's a very generous person. As those of you who've been listening to the show for some time now know that he is, because he joins us very regularly to help us to understand how to do a better job of operating and being successful with our small businesses. Steve Martin, a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust, welcome to the show.
Jim, thank you so much. I have to put my feet back on the ground after that intro.
Well, we couldn't do it without you, Steve. I tell you what, you have really contributed a lot to me and to my show and to our audience. And I know many people out there have benefited from your words of wisdom. And you just continue, you amaze me, because you continue to come up with new ways to look at things, especially problem solving. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about today. And I just thank you so much for sharing that with us, because, you know, there are a lot of people out there, folks, who are smart. There are a lot of people out there who are, some of them are geniuses. A lot of people out there who have some great things that they could offer, but they don't share it with people. They're not generous with it. And people who are the kind of folks that I like to have on the show. And if you've learned nothing else about the nature of this show, the spirit of this show, it's that we like to introduce you to people who care about you and who are generous with what they know and with their time. And Steve, you fit that bill 100%.
Well, thank you, Jim. I'm just trying to follow your example.
Thanks, Steve. Let's talk about problem prevention. Now, one of the things, you and I have spent a good bit of time over the last month and more than a year talking about how to solve problems, and that's one of the themes that we've talked about, creative problem solving and that sort of thing. But what we have not done is talk about problem prevention. As Barney Fife used to say on Mayberry, nip it in the bud.
That's right.
So how do we go about preventing problems?
Well, it really means taking a look at what's going on at any point in time, but looking at it from a standpoint of what's going to happen in the future, and then step back to the present to take action about it.
Now, that's not easy to do, is it?
I mean, no, it is. Absolutely.
Many people, many really good managers, excellent small business owners, have difficulty focusing on the future.
Yes, they do. And there's no question why, because we are so focused on trying to make the payroll this week and satisfy the problems of the moment that we just don't have time. And what's more, people don't have a preference necessarily for looking to the future. It's a personality mm-hmm. preference or a mm-hmm. thinking preference.
Well, that's exactly right. And the point you make is excellent. And there actually are two scenarios here. One is people who, even if the alligators aren't biting them at the moment, just aren't, that individual is just not capable of focusing that far forward. And then we have the other scenario where they may be able to, but as you say, because of crisis management or that they've imposed on themselves, or real life problems that no one could have prevented, are keeping them from having the time to be able to focus on the future.
And absolutely. And typically we deal with problems in terms of the moment. The crisis is at hand and we must solve it. So people tend to look at problems in view of doing whatever is necessary to get past it for the immediate present.
I used to work for a guy, and one of the things that I tried to do was to focus on where my department was going, where and how it was fitting into the whole company. And I remember, I did this more than once, but I remember one specific time I went to him and I said, "Sir, there's something that's, if we don't solve it, if we don't take this action today, it's going to bite us 90 days from now. We're going to have a real problem 90 days from now, but if we focus on this right now, these things right here, then we will be able to avoid that." And he actually said to me, "Jim, look, is this something that's going to hurt me right now?" And I said, "No, sir, it's going to hurt you in 90 days. And he said, I'm trying to fix things that are hurting me right now. I don't have time to deal with 90 days.
Well,
and I actually walked, got up and left, because there was nothing more to say.
And it bit him in 90 days.
It did. It bit him bad too.
Yeah.
And of course, I don't mean to say that this particular thing was going to cause him to go down, but it ultimately contributed to some bad stuff.
Very short-sighted. And the interesting thing is that if you solve the problem at the moment, you find the solution. One, the next step is to say, well, what is going to happen to me 60, 90 days, 365 days out? See if there's anything that might occur that would be devastating, and then invest a little extra time trying to improve the solution that you have so that it is longer ranging, longer lasting.
Do you agree with me when I say that small business owners typically don't think of themselves as CEOs, chief executive officers? By that I mean, what I tell my clients is, look, you don't just own this business, you're the chief executive officer. Take that literally. And what I want you to, what chief executive officers have to do is they have to find the time and the ability to get in their little spaceship or in their helicopter or whatever and orbit up over their business and look down, literally down on their business, and see where it is and where, and see the, a little farther in the future, a little farther horizon than you can on the ground. That's what CEOs do.
That's an excellent metaphor. The helicopter view, I think, is great. You really have to be able to get that big picture view, and that includes looking out into a future time horizon.
But don't you think that most small business owners, especially the very smaller ones, have difficulty viewing themselves as a CEO?
Absolutely, because I think they're so busy caught up in doing the business that they work in it rather than on it.
Right. And if there's nothing else, I think, Steve, that small business owners take away from our, we're going to talk a lot about some specific things to help problem prevention, but I really would like for them to think about themselves as the CEO of their company. And would you agree that maybe they should start out with 1 hour, 1 hour a week. Give yourself 1 hour a week and say, okay, this hour I'm going to be the CEO and I'm not going to do anything else.
Just going to think about the future. That would be great.
And then next week we go to 2 hours.
Absolutely.
And as you solve these problems, you buy yourself more time to be a CEO, don't you?
Excellent suggestion.
Yeah. All right, we're going to talk about some specific things that Steve has got for us when we come back right after these messages. 20 after the hour, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, 888-822-8255. Join us. 888-822-8255. That's the phone number to call. If you'd like to join me, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my good friend, Steve Martin, the Vice President and Chief Operating Officer of The Positive Way. Steve, I would like for you to tell our audience a little bit about your organization and a phone number and a website.
Well, Jim, we have a couple of branches, but one that we focus on for the Small Business Advocate is our business solutions approach to helping organizations and individuals achieve their business goals. And we invite people to visit our website at www.positive-way.com/business.
Put the slash business on the end. That'll take you to the business portion of the Positive Way.
Absolutely. Or if you just go to positive-way.com, there's a link from there, from the interpersonal relationship site into the business site, and lots of free resources for business people of all sizes.
And the book is called Talk to Me, How to Create Positive, Loving Communications. And folks, it's an outstanding book that will help you in every facet of your life.
Thank
I recommend
you,
it to you. And we're, and they can get that at the website as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And the phone number?
The 800 number is 1-800-636-8082.
And why would a business person want to call that number or send you an email? What would be something would motivate them to do that?
Well, if they had a particular issue or a problem or an opportunity that they wanted to explore and improve their probability of success on, I'd be happy to talk to them and help them determine how they could be more successful.
And you would probably give them an interview at first just to see if there's something you could help them with and then work out some kind of a fee arrangement.
Absolutely, and I generally try and give people access to no-cost advice and counsel early on.
And folks, his website is a gem. It's an absolute jewel of a website, and I recommend you check it out. It's a beautifully done website. Steve does it himself, and I really admire his website. I recommend you check it out. Steve, let's move over to some of the specific points that you want to talk to us about today on problem prevention, not problem solving, folks. That's another issue. That's later. That comes later if you don't prevent the problem. We're going to go back a little bit earlier and talk about problem prevention. Steve, what are some of the specific things?
Well, one of the things I hear from almost every business that I approach and almost every type of business, be it service, manufacturing, distribution, whatever, are issues relating to employees and how they're performing their jobs. People aren't doing them well, the customers are unhappy, there are quality issues, things are getting broken, damaged, service isn't where it's supposed to be, there are safety programs, there are accidents, errors, whatever. And I ask them, first of all, let me see your training manuals.
Mm-hmm.
And what I find in all too many of the cases, in fact, probably 95% of the cases, is they don't have training manuals. They don't have process descriptions for the positions. So people don't know how to do their jobs, and when there's a turnover, they rely on word of mouth on-the-job training, and mm-hmm. things get lost and damaged, mm-hmm. basically, in terms of procedures and process.
Isn't that how people did things 4,000 years ago before we had a written language?
I think so, Jim. Why are we still doing that? Because it's convenient, and nobody has the time, or they don't think they have the time to formalize the process.
I kept thinking about the comfort, the anthropologists who've gone into the jungle and found this lost tribe, and the things that they were told people about were what they call memories.
Mm-hmm.
And the memories have been passed down from one generation to the other.
And they've probably done a better job than most companies.
Anyway, it's an archaic way of doing things. But now, the truth is, Steve, is that for small companies, let's say you've got a little manufacturing company that, believe it or not, might only have 6, 8, or 10 employees, a little construction company, or a little, a real small manufacturing type company, something mm-hmm. like that, that has processes, but it's so small, and it's not as easy, is it, to really set up training programs for those little companies?
No, it's not easy, and what it amounts to is that you have to invest extra energy to get it done. If you're working a 50-hour week now, you may have to go to 60 just to get your programs written, but by the time you're done, you won't come back to 50. You'll be able to work your 45-day week because things will be more formalized.
Right.
The smaller the company, the more important that you have the training manuals and procedures in hand. Because if you miss one person and you're a four-person company, you've got 25% of your workforce out.
It really becomes a problem. You're exactly right. I know about that. I have that in my company sometimes. All right, folks, we're going to take a break. Steve, stand by. It's 29 after the hour. We're going to talk some more about problem prevention, some great tools that Steve has for us to help us prevent problems. 888-822-8255. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, heroes. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. And if you call that number, we've still got time to get you a free registration to the Small Business Survival Summit, which the Small Business Survival Committee is holding next week, May 17th through the 19th, at the University Club in Washington, D.C. I know that Jim Glassman is going to be there. He's a very interesting guy on the economy. A syndicated columnist. Also, Steve Forbes is going to be speaking at that summit, and quite a few other people, some very important people who are going to be there to talk about it, especially folks, anybody who's going to be in D.C. next week. And if you live in that area, those of you who are listening over WMET 1150 out of Gaithersburg, give me a call, and I'll send you. Karen Kerrigan, the president, has allowed me to give away some registrations. $150 registration. It'll be free to you if you'll give me a call, 888-822-8255, and we'll sign you up, and you can go. I know you'll enjoy it. And you don't have to go to all of them. You can just go to whatever you want to. We'll send you a schedule of what's going on there. Steve Martin is our special guest, and we're talking about problem prevention. Steve, you were talking about training the last time during the last segment, and I want to finish that up by saying this. Earlier in the week, I visited with our good friend Laura Rishi, and she was talking about a client who had told her that they had $25,000 piece of equipment, that they were so meticulous and had so much detail, written detail, procedures on how to clean that equipment, $25,000, and if they took care of that equipment and cleaned it and maintained it perfectly, and they made sure all of their employees knew how to maintain that equipment, that equipment would last them for 10 years.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, they realized, wait a minute, we spend that much a year on each one of our employees. So why don't we have the same kind of documentation on how to maintain and protect and to keep our employees, which are really our most important assets, in good working order?
Absolutely.
I thought that was a great analogy.
Take care of your people.
Well, what they pointed out was that $25,000 is what that equipment cost, and in 10 years they'd would have spent 10 times that much on each one of their employees.
Sure.
And they were more worried about the hard good than they were the other assets, the human assets.
And that often shows up in the lack of a safety training program.
Yeah.
And talk about taking care of your most valuable asset. You really need to train people in how to work safely and how to maintain a safe work environment. And that needs to be formalized. Otherwise, you have the chance of injuring people on the job, and that's totally unacceptable.
You know, another thing that I think that's important to include in the training program, Steve, is, and I do this with my employees when I provide them with training, especially out of off-site training, and I tell them, I'm investing in you. I hope you work with me for a long time, but if you don't, the things that I'm paying for you to learn right now, you can take those with you the rest of your life.
No, it's enriching, absolutely.
And it lets them know that you're not just training them so you can make a buck. You're investing in them.
And they should be happier on the job, higher morale.
Exactly. So don't miss that opportunity to point that out to your employees. Now you don't lord it over them. You don't make it sound like you're Santa Claus or something. But it is important to get across, isn't it?
Absolutely, especially when with unemployment being as low as it is today.
Boy, it's the acquiring and keeping good people is a crisis in the marketplace today, isn't it?
Yes, and good training is a way to prevent that problem.
Exactly. What's next, Steve? What's our next tool?
Well, one of the most powerful tools that I have is really asking the question, what if? When you consider some particular segment or aspect of your business, ask yourself, what would happen if, and then fill in the blank with that potential circumstance. And then if you find that if the answer is that the process might break down or a customer might be unhappy, you have the opportunity to change the way you're doing things now, and that's very, very powerful.
Okay, now what's the setting like when you say what if?
The setting is you're in a situation where you're looking toward the future or you're trying to solve a problem.
And you do this by yourself or in a group?
Could be in a group, yes. Depends on how complex it is. For example, you're in a meeting and you're deciding how to change the way you deliver product to a customer. Say, well, what would happen if we did it this way or that way? And people consider what the possible outcomes are, and if some of them are bad, then you have an opportunity to change the way you're dealing with it.
Now, I'd like to set up two scenarios here on this one, Steve. And one is the what if with just yourself, and that's in your hour that we've asked you to take this week to be a CEO. You write down those words. What if? Now, we'd like for you to actually write those words down on a piece of paper, and wherever you go, and you need to get away from the business, don't you, to be able to, if you're going to orbit the business, you got to get away from the business.
That's right.
So,
lock yourself in a closet somewhere.
Well, yeah, or just go sit by the river, get a sandwich at lunch and go sit by the river and stare at the river and ask yourself what if. Now, that's one scenario, right?
That's an excellent way to look at it. You bet.
Second thing is, let's talk to our people. Let's employ our brain trust in our organization. Let's get as many people as we can. And what do you think about this, Steve? Let's call the local restaurant, not the expensive one, but a nice restaurant, and let's ask them if they've got a room that they could give us. And tell the employees, now I'm going to buy your dinner. I would like for you to come to dinner with me. And I want to buy you dinner, and what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some what-if scenarios while we're there. And while you're there, have the meal, enjoy the fellowship, and then ask those questions.
Yes, that's good. Helps to lead it.
All right, stand by. We're going to talk about this some more when we come back. It's 39 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Steve Martin is our special guest, and we'll be right back. All right, we're back. It's 44 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stephen Martin, the Chief Operating Officer and Vice President of The Positive Way, is our special guest. He's our good friend. He's a member of the Brain Trust and a very valued and original member of the Brain Trust. And, Steve, we're talking about problem prevention, and you had just posed the question, what if, and we were talking about how to use the what if tool to prevent problems. you've got to get you and or your problem-preventing organization in the right setting to be able to ask the question, what if, because if the phone is ringing, when you say what if, then it won't help, will it?
That's right, because you're caught right back in the moment. You need to set aside some time aside and consider important questions like, what would happen if we just continued business the way we're doing it now?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a scary one, because I think if a lot of businesses do that, they'll recognize that 5 years down the road, they aren't going to have a business if they don't reinvent themselves.
Think about what the threats are out there. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
Think about the threats to your company. What could be coming around the pike?
And the opportunities that
exactly.
might be coming around the pike as well. And particularly in terms of the threats, I like to look at the worst-case scenario. What would happen if, and then fill in the blank, what's the worst-case scenario? Then you can take a look at how you might be able to restructure your business or your method so that you can actually prevent that worst-case scenario from happening.
All right. I'd like to pose another question to you. Would you agree with me that when you have your first what-if meeting with your group, and I recommend you do have that, maybe you do it by yourself for a while so you can just sort of get used to doing it yourself so you can be the moderator.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have it with the group, don't expect a lot of watershed things to come out of the first meeting. Let your people practice a little bit.
It comes back to training. You have to teach people how to think in this particular
mm-hmm.
methodology
mm-hmm.
and teach yourself first.
Because their job description is basically to think in the moment, solve the problem that we've been faced with, make the customer happy, sell the product.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a different mindset, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's the old saying, when you're up your rear end in alligators, it's hard
yep.
to remember that your initial priority was to drain the swamp.
Exactly. All right, let's move over to the next one. Worst case scenario.
I like to do the what if, figure out the worst thing that can go wrong, and reach a comfortable solution to it. May not be the best in the world, but at least get something so that it's no longer a disaster. Then you can work from there, because anything better than that worst case is gravy.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to apply that in crisis situations in particular. What's the worst thing that can happen? How can I make it marginally acceptable at worst, and then go from there?
Right.
So then you can start working on, well, how can I make it better? It's no longer a matter of survival. It's a matter of improving and preventing issues.
One of the things that people do when they're doing business plans and doing projections is they like to focus on the really positive things that could happen to the company. And that's a good thing to do. But one of the things that I like to make people do is say, okay, what would we have to do, as you said, you know, the what-if thing, what would happen if we went to a worst-case scenario? What would those numbers look like, and how far would sales have to go down? If we decided to retool, and it took us 6 months to retool and to go in another direction or something like that, how far could we go before we'd really be in trouble?
Absolutely. In fact, that's that double bookkeeping that in any business that every CEO or entrepreneur should keep. You know, you've got to be the optimist, obviously, to make things happen. But at the same time, you need that realistic persona
mm-hmm.
saying, okay, if the sales really don't materialize at my optimistic pace, what am I going to do?
I actually like to think of three levels. And one is the worst-case scenario. The other one is what I call the reasonable scenario. This is
mm-hmm.
what we think is reasonable to happen. And the other one is the home run territory.
Yep, and you shoot for home run.
You can't dwell on that. That's just sort of nice to look at. It's a little bit of a warm fuzzy. And then you go back and you work on the worst-case scenario and the reasonable scenario.
Yes, and you can prevent the worst case from happening, drive it into the reasonable case, and build the foundation for the great case occurring.
Well said. What's next?
Well, one of the things that I really think we ought to look at in the time we have left is root cause analysis.
Okay.
Because quite often when problems occur, we try and fix them, and we fix them immediately, and we're looking at the symptoms of what occurred. And the challenge is to really find out what the root cause is. You know, it's like having a cold. The symptom is a runny nose. It's not the cause. The cause is that virus.
Right.
Or it might be a strep throat infection or something like that. Well, if you find out that you have strep, you can actually take an antibiotic to do something about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's getting down to the root cause. You're diagnosing what really is happening there.
So I've got a company that I can't seem to keep employees in, and all these employees keep coming from the same employment agency that sends me prospects.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can't keep these employees, and they're all coming from that company, then they must be bad. I need to quit doing business with those people. Right? That's my problem, right?
Well, you might have two symptoms there, but your real problem may be that you've got a supervisor that is absolutely impossible to work with.
Or maybe I don't have a good training program.
Oh, absolutely, and you may be expecting...
How you like the way I tie back in all the stuff we've been...
That's right. Or you may think that you're not paying enough, but
right.
The reality is that you haven't trained your people well enough, and they're all frustrated.
Of course, there's no way it could be anything with me. It could not. There's no way it could be something that I'm doing. I mean, obviously, I'm the perfect boss, so there's no way I should look at myself to see if there's something I'm doing that causes this problem.
Spoken like a true entrepreneur.
Just fire the employment company. All right, folks, we've got to take a break. We'll be right back with Steve. It's 50 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us, please. All right, we're back. 54 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Steve Martin is our special guest and our good friend. We're talking about problem prevention. And before we go any further, though, I want to remind you that our next show's coming up. We're going to include Sarah Calvert. And Sarah's going to help us she's an attorney, a small business attorney in the true sense of the word. She's going to help us to understand how to keep your small business out of litigation, to avoid liability. Also, Joan Pride with the Kiplinger Letters is going to be with us to talk about the most recent Kiplinger Letter. And then on Friday, Doug Stives, the resident CPA, and Rick Pinion, our resident financial planner, is going to be with us at the same time, in the same hour, to talk about pension plans for your small business. That's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that. Steve, we were talking about root cause analysis, and earlier in the very beginning, we talked about thinking in the future and how difficult that is to be able to prevent problems. You've got to think in the future. The other thing that you mentioned, root cause analysis, that we just got through talking about, in order to employ root cause analysis, you've got to look backward and or inward. And as difficult as thinking in the future is for many people, looking inward can be painful.
Oh, certainly can, because you have to accept responsibility for what you've done.
Ooh, that hurts. I don't like that. Nobody does, do they?
Hey, denial is a lot easier than accepting responsibility.
It's not just a river in Egypt, as they say. But, you know, the thing is, self-analysis is a very important cause, a very important component of root cause analysis, isn't it?
It really is, and I know I've been there personally. Back 20 years ago when I was a young manager, I was having some labor relation problems in my department, and my first inclination was to blame it on the unions and everybody else I was working with. And
of course,
when I really did that root cause analysis, I found I was being very abrasive. I was not being a good manager in respect to the way I was dealing with the most important resource, the organization.
That was not a comfortable revelation, though, was it?
No, it wasn't, but it was powerful, Jim, because then I was able to change the way I looked at people and looked at life and the way I managed folks.
What was the result?
The end result was we tripled productivity and the turnover stopped, and the employees were a lot happier, and guess what? So was I.
Yeah, just because you looked inward and found, and when you look inward, folks, it's, you know, we're not saying that you will always find a problem. Maybe it is the union. Maybe it is the company. Maybe there are other things. But you've got to include yourself in your analysis, don't you?
Yeah, I was so much a part of the problem that I was really the biggest part of the cure.
Yeah. Steve, we got about 1 minute. Let's do one more.
Well, one of the neat things that you have to look out for, particularly in any organization that thrives on chaos, is rewarding prevention rather than just rewarding heroes who put out the fires. You've got to make sure that your recognition system ensures that you foster prevention rather than just heroic recovery.
Don't you have to have a vessel, some system to catch these things so they don't go away unnoticed?
Yes, you've got to go up to that person and say, "Fantastic job! If you hadn't done that, we may have had an issue, and I really appreciate your putting the time and effort into preventing that issue."
Right,
preventing that problem.
And sometimes it's not possible to really put a value on that because the problem hasn't happened yet.
That's exactly right, but you've got to assume it could have and reward the behavior, if nothing else.
Right. Steve, we've got about 10 seconds. You got any closing comments for us?
Prevention is the better part of problem solving.
Well said. I like that. Steve, as always, you were great today. Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. Give us your website one more time, please.
Jim, you're the hero. www.positive-way.com/business.
And buy the book while you're there, folks. It's well worth the money. Steve, thanks a lot. Best to Catherine. See you later.
Thank you, Jim.
Bye-bye. Got to wrap it up for now, folks. Got to go. And before I do, though, I want to thank my heroes, the most important members of my show, small business owners. Because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.